Cold front bait. Yeah, me too. I'm on team cold front as well. All right, thank you. Speaking of which, is it going to be tiger bait or gator bait? That's the question this weekend. Zach Nagy joins us now, publisher of LSU Tigers on Sports Illustrated. How you doing, Zach?
Doing good on this end, trying to obviously recover after a brutal loss last weekend, shift focus to Florida week, but doing good on this end. How about yourself?
I'm all right. I don't know if you heard me. You probably didn't, but I was saying at one point they had a shot of Jalen Milroe running down the numbers at Tiger Stadium. I swear to goodness it looked like the movie Forrest Gump. Remember that scene of Tom Hanks just galloping down the field? That's what it looked like.
I do, and he was running all over the place, man.
Yeah, it was not good. Let's talk about what Brian Kelly had to say after the game and how LSU is not eliminated from the playoffs. But, and, you know, I don't want to do the old cliche Jim Mora playoff thing, but that's kind of the least of their problems now, I would guess.
Yeah, for sure. I think you're on the outside looking in when it comes to a playoff berth opportunity. And this team is just looking to get 1% better every single day. And we had the opportunity to talk to Brian Kelly after the game Monday and then yesterday on the SEC teleconference. And it's just about shifting focus, moving forward to Florida week, and trying to end the season with three wins, because you can only control what you control. The outside factors will do what they can, but there's a chance to make the SEC championship game. It's a far, far chance, but there is one nonetheless, and just got to control what they can control, win their three games, and move forward from here. The outside factors will control themselves.
And look, I'm not trying to get crazy here or anything, but it's not that beyond the realm of possibility there. If LSU takes care of their business, it's not that long of a shot that they wind up in the SEC title game, right?
It's not. And that's the thing that Brian Kelly and the rest of this coaching staff continue trying to instill in the team is that, look, you're not done with it. The team isn't done. It's about keeping your head held high and finishing strong. And if you control your business and win your last three games and win out, the outside factors will do what they have to do in order to get to the SEC championship game, if that's what's on their path. So it's not that far-fetched. Obviously, a lot of outside factors do need to work in their favor. But again, like you said, not that far-fetched.
It's not like that Saturday, that magical Saturday. I know Missouri was involved, I don't know how many years ago, maybe 20 years ago, and LSU wound up playing for the national championship. You remember that?
I do. And you're absolutely right. It's not like this ridiculous thing that needs to happen. There's a chance. Well, we'll see, but control your business first, and we'll see what happens on the outside.
Basically, LSU does have to win out. The favorites have to win out, and Arkansas has the – say again?
Oh, no, you're good.
Tim says – no, Tim was telling me something in my ear. Georgia has to win this weekend. The favorites have to win out. Arkansas has the upset Missouri, which is not beyond the realm of possibility, although Missouri's had a decent season, and then LSU gets to go to the title game. Let's talk about and I don't want to spend a lot of time on last week, Zach, but, man, you know, this was not a surprise. This was not the Texas A&M quarterback. You knew what you had waiting for you in Jalen Milroe. How could they not be better prepared for this?
Yeah, Ryan Kelly, right after the game, said, it looks like we didn't even practice for 2 weeks, right? They looked unprepared. They looked like they had no game plan. Nothing was going in their favor. And, of course, we can sit here and focus on the Jalen Milroe aspect of things because he obviously played a fantastic football game, and LSU made him look like a prime Mike Vick. He looked fantastic as a dual-threat signal caller. And on the other side of the ball, Garrett Nussmeier and company offensively couldn't get anything rolling either. So it was about as unprepared of a football team as I've seen in the Brian Kelly era. They had nothing going their way. Offensively, you could not diversify the playbook in any way, shape, or form. The run game was abysmal. Garrett Nussmeier's receivers couldn't get open at all. Flip it to the other side of the football. And Jalen Milroe was fantastic. 185 rushing yards on 12 carries. He was doing every single thing he wanted. Misdirection, options, etc. He was doing all he could. LSU had no answer, and the result is what it is, unfortunately.
Garrett Nussmeier, to me, seems to be a guy that's just lost his confidence completely. How do you go about, first of all, do you agree with that or not? And secondly, how do you go about restoring that?
It's a challenging situation, of course, because he does look like he's lost his confidence, and he's not playing with that itch, that touch that he had before as well. And for him, it's just about continuing to put your head down and work. Brian Kelly on the SEC teleconference yesterday said that there's obviously no quarterback controversy in Baton Rouge.
No.
Garrett Nussmeier's the guy, and it's about continuing to work on his mechanics, work on his fundamentals, and continue to become a better quarterback. Obviously, we've seen the jump that quarterbacks have made from year one to year two in Baton Rouge. Started with Joe Burrow, and then it finished off with Jaden Daniels. Now you're looking at a guy, Garrett Nussmeier, who's only started 10 games in his career. And I know some people are going to be like, well, that's double-digit games. That's That's a large sample size. It is, but it isn't at the same time. When you're making your first start against Alabama in these big-time games, experience is going to be your best friend. He's continuing to gain more and more each day. His confidence will gain, but he just needs to get more experience under his belt in order to become that next great quarterback at LSU.
So when it comes to Garrett Nussmeier, I'm a football fan. I'm not a coach or anything, but it seems to me like, man, 90% of his problem is between his ears. Thoughts?
Yeah, I think when the season started, it was always going to be about his decision-making and trying to shed that gunslinger narrative that's been surrounding his name for his entire career. He loves to throw those tight window passes. He loves to see what he can get away with. And sometimes it's the thorn in his side, of course. And we've seen that over the last couple of games with, you know, near double-digit turnovers. So it's been a challenge for him. And that's where experience becomes your best friend. That's where sitting in the film room alongside quarterback's coach and offensive coordinator Joe Sloan becomes your best friend. There are opportunities for him to get better. He needs to end the season with a bang, go into the offseason, and get to work, because he can make those NFL throws. He has a diverse skill set. It's just about continuing to, like you said, get a little bit better between the ears and make those right decisions, because the skill set's fantastic. It's the decision-making that he needs to continue to work on. I completely agree with you, Tommy.
What else did Brian Kelly have to say about the team this week? Defense, et
really, it's just about continuing to put your head down. It's about continuing to work and not necessarily put that game behind you and forget about it. Remember it to a certain degree, but don't let it kind of determine how the season ends. You still have three games. You still have an opportunity to win out. And like we said a couple minutes ago, there's still a chance to make that SEC championship game, of course, but it's about getting 1% better every single day. That's Brian Kelly's kind of motto, and that's how they're going to look at it over the next 3 weeks.
Let me take a break. Well, I got time for a couple more questions. Tell me about the Florida offense. What kind of offense do they run? Do they run like two quarterbacks?
They run with DJ Lagway, and that's their mobile signal caller, who was out last week against Texas with a hamstring injury. He suffered it in week 10, and it was one where the team really thought that he was going to be out for the rest of the season. He got carted off the field, and all signs pointed towards his season being done, but initial tests came back positive on that front. He sat out last week, and now he's trending to play this weekend against LSU, and look, it's another mobile quarterback. This is a guy that is going to give LSU problems. We've seen LSU struggle against dual-threat quarterbacks. Florida quarterback DJ Lagway is just that. So, yes, he won't be 100%, but this is a guy who's a five-star recruit, cream-of-the-crop guy, who's certainly going to give some issues when on the field. So he can make all the throws. He can get down the field with his legs as well. LSU has a challenge defensively once again. So you let DJ Lagway run all over you, it's going to be a long day in the swamp once again. But if you can contain a guy who's not necessarily 100%, gives LSU a really good chance to come out with a win.
Now we'll take a break. Picking up, we come back with Zach Nagy, publisher of LSU Tigers on Sports Illustrated. We'll look ahead to injuries. We'll talk about injuries. We'll talk about a recruiting class. I want to talk about Brian Kelly and this whole mess that's going on with transfer portal, name, image, and likeness. I think without doubt that's what drove Nick Saban out. He'll say that he couldn't deal with the transfer portal. He got a new Republican Congress, House, Senate. Who knows what's going to happen with the House case? We spent an hour talking about that yesterday. And whether you like it or not, that is the new situation for college football. So you better adapt and deal with it. Although, I also want to talk about Clemson, because Dabo Swinney did not play transfer portal as much, and now they seem to be doing all right as well. 919, got any questions? 504-260-1870. Tommy Tucker back with Zach Nagy, publisher of LSU Tigers on Sports Illustrated here on WWL. 925 and a half, Tommy Tucker, WWL, talking to Zach Nagy, publisher of LSU Tigers on Sports Illustrated. So bottom line, before we move on from Florida, you got Billy Napier, former ULL coach, was a candidate for the LSU job. Now he's 0-2 as a head coach against LSU. I guess it was nothing against Billy, but it was a good move by LSU maybe not to get him. And thoughts about Brian Kelly's future moving forward, manipulating the transfer portal. Who knows what's going to happen with the new legislation. Thoughts on all of that, Zach?
Yeah, I think when you look at the future of Brian Kelly and Baton Rouge, it's a positive outlook. And I know a lot of people are prisoners of the moment right now, where you're coming off of a devastating loss to Alabama. You're 6-3. You're not looking at that LSU standard right now. But when you look at the future of the program, it's in good hands. You have the number one quarterback in the country, Bryce Underwood, set to put pen to paper on December 4th with LSU. Number one running back, number one cornerback. You have a top three recruiting class in America set to make their way to Baton Rouge for the 2025 season. And then 2026, you got some guys in the state that you can lock down as well. So on the recruiting front, you're looking at a really good roster construction coming in the future. And then a second ago, like you were talking about the transfer portal, you have an opportunity to go out there and kind of open up the checkbook, go get some immediate impact guys. You're going to need to go get some offensive linemen, a wide receiver, some defensive backs. There are key pieces that you need to go add to this roster in the foreseeable future to make this team competitive once again. But that will look for Brian Kelly's tenure. It's looking positive. I know a lot of people, like I said a second ago, prisoners of the moment. It's tough looking at the team right now. But looking long-term, they have a good thing going in Baton Rouge. And I think Brian Kelly's going to get this ship steered in the right direction soon.
Speaking of which, you know, you talk about what a difference Jaden Daniels can make. Look at the difference he's making for the Commanders. What kind of difference could Bryce Underwood, and first of all, let me take a step back. There's no indication that anything has changed with any of that, right?
Yeah, from everybody that I've spoken to about Bryce Underwood, I know his name's stealing headlines, and everybody's talking about Michigan and the NIL offer, et cetera, but he's fresh off a three-day stay in Baton Rouge. Fantastic official visit with him and his extended family. All signs point towards him putting pen to paper with LSU and making things official during the early signing period. But to your question, this is a guy who's a unicorn. He's a program-changing prospect, the number one player in America. He can come in and make an immediate impact. Obviously, if Garrett Nussmeier stays, he'll continue having the keys to the car in 2025. But looking at the future, Bryce Underwood with a guy who can come in and change the trajectory of the program in the blink of an eye.
He's from Michigan, and I know Tim tells me he wears a big Tiger diamond necklace. Do you know what where the connection was made with LSU? Because this guy is, you talk about a unicorn, this is a generational talent, right?
He is, man. This is the recruiting efforts of offensive coordinator Joe Sloan. This is a guy who's proven to be a guy who can go out and get gem after gem in the transfer portal, recruiting realm, whatever it is. Joe Sloan is the elite level of a recruiter as they come, and he went up there and he went national to go get a quarterback from Michigan, who's proven to be one of those top guys to come out of the quarterback slot in quite some time, since maybe like a Trevor Lawrence. So he's a guy who can come in and change the trajectory of a program instantaneously. Joe Sloan put on his recruiting cap and really developed a relationship with Bryce Underwood early in his recruiting process, and that relationship proved to become important down the stretch when he signed, or not signed, but committed to LSU on January 6th. And then prepares to sign later this year.
And that Jaden Daniels story kind of figures into this because he wants to be Jaden Daniels, right?
He does. He wants to be that next great quarterback at LSU. And when he was on campus on Saturday night in Death Valley, he was wearing a shirt that had him in the middle, Joe Burrow on one side, and Jaden Daniels on the other side, kind of alluding to the fact that he wants to be that next great quarterback out of LSU. And he certainly has the opportunity to, if all things continue trending in the right direction. He's a guy who can come in, develop, and then become a great quarterback in Baton Rouge because he has all the intangibles to do just that.
How binding is what he signs on December 4th?
It's basically like an NIL contract at this point. The way that the new landscape is, it's unique. You're basically signing a contract, not just a name, not just a kind of a, how would you put it, just a letter of intent. Mm-hmm. Now you're signing an NIL contract, quote unquote. So it's binding. Once you put pen to paper, you are locked in with that program, and we're all waiting to see what Bryce Underwood does, but all signs point towards him doing just that.
So what time on December 4th can we all have that sigh of relief?
Hopefully early in the morning. Hopefully 7 a.m. local time is usually when you begin to put pen to paper, begin to do that. That's when they'll probably get the facts over from it, but we all know that he'll have a big signing day opportunity, a big media opportunity out in Belleville, Michigan. So we can all put a sigh of relief. Early morning, December 4th, hopefully, as all things trend in that direction.
This guy that kicks off for LSU, you know, they seem to have gotten the kicking problems. You don't realize you got a problem until you have one with the kicking game, right? Damian Ramos had been money. Seemed like they got all of that together. Alabama, he didn't miss one against Alabama, did he? I don't think so.
No. Not to my knowledge.
But I'm just wondering about 32, guy that kicks off. Does he eventually become a field goal kicker? And if so, how good could he be?
Yeah, Aaron Burrell's a guy who's from the state of Louisiana, the number one kicker in the state, and this is a guy who continues to boom it for touchback after touchback every single opportunity. His leg is as strong as they come. He was battling an injury during the offseason, so he's not necessarily a field goal kicking guy right now. But in the future, that can obviously be his bread and butter. He's just continuing to try to stay healthy and continue to work on his field goal kicking to become more accurate. But the leg strength is there. Accuracy is what will be his best friend in the long haul, yeah. And his outlook could certainly become a field goal kicker when it's all said and done.
And he's an athlete. You can tell that from the way he made the tackle against USC. Real quick before we let you go, you think the Tigers take care of their business against Florida, Vanderbilt, and Oklahoma to close it out?
I think you have to. I think there's no other option than to do that. Brian Kelly knows that this team has to win out in order to have any type of opportunities in the foreseeable future. I think Blake Baker can dial up a scheme for Florida. You're going against a quarterback that's not 100% in DJ Lagway. He'll suit up more than likely, and he's trending in the right direction, just like Billy Napier said. But regardless, he will not be a guy who's playing at 100%. I think LSU can utilize that to their advantage. Garrett Nussmeier and company can try to diversify the playbook and get the running game going, but I think he'll be a little bit smarter with the football. For me, I'm riding with LSU and a nail biter, of course, in the swamp. It's a challenge to go on the road in the SEC and get a victory, but I think they can do that, bounce back. Just can't envision this team losing three straight games under Brian Kelly. So I think they get the job done in the swamp.
Real quick, talk about Clemson, if you will, and Dabo Swinney and his approach towards the transfer portal and how that's worked out.
Yeah, it's unique, man. He's not a guy who likes to utilize it to his advantage for better or for worse. And he's going to have to adapt to the new norms of college football sooner rather than later. The transfer portal is the way to go when you need that immediate impact guy just instantaneously, right? So he's going to have to adapt sooner rather than later. And it's a unique approach, not utilizing it right now, but he's going to in the future. He's going to have to, or else that Clemson program will be in shambles. So it's, like you said, a unique approach, but times are changing, and he's going to have to adapt to the new norm.
You can howl at that hurricane, but it's going to come. You can howl all you want. Real quick, going back to Bryce Underwood, any indication, anything we could look for of any indication that the whole commitment could be in trouble, or do you think this is a done deal? You hate to jinx anything, but...
Yeah, no, I think after a three-day visit to Baton Rouge last weekend, all signs would point in the right direction for him. He got in on Saturday afternoon, had the opportunity to meet with the staff, get to Tiger Stadium, take some photos with some LSU icons, go around the tailgates, et cetera, before making his way to the field where he was accompanied by number one running back in America, Harlan Berry, number one cornerback, DJ Pickett, and all the other commitments that are committed in that 2025 class before going to a seat. Sunday, had a dinner with Brian Kelly and the rest of the staff that went positive from what I've heard. So all signs point towards him putting pen to paper with LSU. It's just a matter of time for him, right? You're going to see the Michigan buzz continue to swirl as we inch closer and closer to that early signing period. They're going to make their push. They've already offered millions of dollars, those reported NIL packages. But on the LSU side, they feel confidence. Their confidence has not wavered. And ultimately, the goal is for him to put pen to paper in December with LSU. Recruiting game's fluid. Anything can happen. But they're confident. I'm confident. I feel good about where LSU sits with Bryce Underwood.
And NIL ain't going to get you a Heisman. Real quick, if you had to pick me two teams right now, play for the national championship, who are they going to be? I'm not holding you to it. This is at this point, it's a very fluid situation.
Yeah. I like where Texas is sitting at right now. I think that's a really good program. I think they've got their head on straight right now in the SEC. And then potentially maybe like in Ohio State or Oregon. I'd probably say Oregon and Texas will throw Ohio State down the drain. For me, it's going to be Oregon and Texas if I had to pick two right now.
All right, thank you. I appreciate your time as always, Zach. And you work, Zach Nagy, publisher of LSU Tigers on Sports Illustrated. We'll take a break, come back, talk to the Cajun Cannon. Always fun to talk to Bobby Hebert. Got a lot of hot takes on a lot of different things. Very educated guy. We'll talk about the Saints and their resurrection, as I'm calling it right now, 9:35. It is currently 9:43, 17 till 10 today. It'd be your final day to register to win tickets to the next Saints home game against the Browns and Jameis Winston, the gift that keeps on giving. Sunday in the Caesars Superdome, you can score two premium tickets to the game plus a pair of VIP tailgate passes from Bullseye Event Group. Open bar with premium liquor. Did I skip two premium tickets to the game? I don't think so. All-you-can-eat buffet from celebrity chef Aaron May, all overlooking Champion Square. Winning's easy. Go to WWL.com/contest. Enter for your chance to win tickets as the Saints take on Cleveland. That's from Dudley DeBosier, official injury lawyer of the Saints and Saints Radio, WWL. You get until 5:59 to get that done. And as we talk about Bryce Underwood, a story pops up from TheWolverine.com. That apparently they're offering $10 million been offered to him to go to Michigan. And with that, we welcome in, yes, Tim, Bobby Hebert, Cajun Cannon, quarterback for the, you know, Bobby Hebert is. How you doing, Bobby?
Good. How you doing, Tommy?
All right, let me say
so
this.
$10 million?
Yeah. Let me say a couple of things, first of all. I'm not saying this to be a fan or to kiss anybody's rear end because I don't have to. But if y'all do not turn down the sound and listen to Deuce McAllister and Mike Haas call the game and Jeff Nowak on the sideline, and then stay tuned for the point after, you're missing out on the whole story of the Saints. I'm just telling you that, and I mean that, Bob, because I listen every Sunday, and y'all do a great job. Now, that being said, you played NFL football. You had two sons that played college football. You're Bryce Underwood's dad. $10 million, solid concrete offer to play for Michigan, name, image, and likeness. What are you telling him?
Well, and I think, isn't he from Michigan?
He is from Michigan, yeah.
Stay home. I'm telling him, stay home. $10 million just coming out of high school? No, he won the lottery.
Because you don't know. I guess that's guaranteed, right? You don't know if he gets hurt. And look, I want him to come to LSU, but he could tear up a knee or anything else. You don't know any of this, right, if you're his dad?
Exactly. It's it's guaranteed as long as he don't quit. You know, now if he'd get injured, he still would get it. If he'd play, and, you know, if he was disgruntled and he wasn't playing and he wanted to transfer, I'm sure he's going to have some kind of contract. But, no, I mean, that's unbelievable. That's why you're going to have some kind of legislation where they're going to end up having, like, a salary cap or something in college football. But that's going to have to be negotiated. So then you have to be a school employee. That's what it's all coming down to. So things will be collectively bargained. And they'll end up having, like, a commissioner, a czar, like they do with Roger Goodell. They'll have that in college football. That's what is coming, and it might be within a handful of years. That's exactly right. It's going to be, like, a decade from now. But, yeah, that's on. And, Tom, I just think in 1990, I didn't have a contract. And I now, you know, you have to look at inflation and everything. But in 1990, I didn't have a contract, so I looked at my market value where I was ranked amongst NFL quarterbacks. And I remember I wanted right under like $1.28 million. And so basically I held out that year for $1 million. And Fink said, well, no, we own you. I'm going to pay you what I want to pay you, because they didn't have free agency then. And so it was basically I'll give you like $800,000 or something. And it was just a principle. I don't have a contract. I'm a capitalist. So it was unbelievable. I'll look at where we at now compared to where we were then. You know, you're looking at basically 30 years, but boy, have times changed.
That's $10 million over 4 years, to be clear, but still.
Okay.
Man, that's...
Yeah, no, still that's guaranteed. But talk about you always want your kid or yourself to get off to a great start in life. And what do you go to college for? To get a great education so you can get a better job.
Yeah, you got two and a half
opportunities.
Right, you got $2.5 million right here, guaranteed, right, for the first year at least. Or take a shot. I don't know. Let's hope it works out. Let's talk about the Saints.
Right, right. Okay.
You've been there, done that. You got the skins on a wall, to quote your nemesis, Jim Finks. Did you guys wind up being friends or not, you and Jim Finks?
Yeah, well, I was always friends with him. I always called him Mr. Finks out of respect.
Yeah.
But it was crazy. Him and I got put in the Louisiana Hall of Fame at the same time. Mm-hmm. And, he was already dead. He had died, you know, cancer in the mid-90s. And, we're at the Hall of Fame thing in Natchitoches, and his son accepted the award. And his son was on my side, his own son. Mm-hmm. So he knew dealing with his dad how it was.
There you go.
and he was representing his dad. And no, so I'm just going to leave it at that. Him and I had some conversations. So, no, his dad was just, pardon my French, but a hard-ass old school. And it's just my way of the highway. Well, today, him being a general manager would drive him crazy. What they pay in the players. But no, I always respected him because I always respected my elders.
Let's talk about the Saints and in a locker room. Have you been through it with an interim coach?
Yeah, Wade Phillips, Bum's son.
What happens in a week? What happens in a week? How can it turn around? What's going through your mind as a player when, you know, you find out, and I guess it's not a surprise, you know, the old guy's on the way out, then you find out they made the change, and you got the, what do you call him? You got the interim coach.
What's going through your mind? Well, what has to go through your mind, are you mature enough to handle it? And you have to be a pro. The bottom line, okay, no excuse, because, oh, well, we don't have the right coach and all that. No, you better look in the mirror, and if you want to keep that NFL lifestyle, you better get something done. So the way I always looked at it, and a number of players, now I'm being evaluated, you know, you can't, you know, it's like, you know, you can't fire all the players and keep the coach. You know, it's one thing. The players really aren't going nowhere in the short term. Now, long term, if you don't put good film out there and they're going to go in a different direction, get someone else. So I think just from that, getting the attention and having a little, you know, spark or juice, you know, that's how they describe it. And these days, young kids, you know, you got to have them. We need some juice. Well, that juice in Coach Rizzi, and I think he's a lot more emotional, but you need much more in emotion. It has to be a skill set. I can tell you right now, that's not good. If we do this, continue to do this. If you can't stop the run and the way we're running the ball right now, I'm not consistent enough. Now, that's going to help having Eric McCoy, our main offensive lineman, our best offensive line coming back. And that the emotions can only take you so far. So, yeah, you just have to be a pro. And what happened last week, that's all fine and dandy. You beat Atlanta, and there's no – you have a favorable schedule. There's no way when you're playing pros, there's no way you shouldn't beat Cleveland. Cleveland's coming here. They're struggling. They got a couple of wins. You know Jameis Winston's tendencies. I'd be extremely disappointed if they lose to Cleveland Sunday. I'm not saying – Cleveland's probably saying, oh, we got to beat the Saints. But no, it's not like we play in Detroit right now with the Ravens, where I would say, we'd be lucky to beat them. No, we should beat Cleveland. And Coach Rizzi knows that to get them motivated and headed in the right direction. But again, passion or, you know, emotion, that can only take you so far. Now you just got to go out there and execute.
You have passion. You have emotion. You love this Saints team. I know you do. And anybody that's ever sat next to you in a press box, they know that. You're a fan. Let's admit it, right? You're an ex-player. You love the Saints.
Well,
we
I
all
love
football.
You.
And you love football.
I'm a fan. I love football. And who are my local teams?
And I think that's great.
Saints and LSU.
The reason all that, Bobby, when you factor that in with the fact that you spent so many years with the team, how would you like to see this season play out? Ideally, where we are, it's hard to believe we're in a week 11 already with the weather. It's hard to believe because you think it's still summertime, but it's not. How would you like to see this season play out? Ideally, what would be best for the short-term, long-term interest of the fans, team, everybody?
Well, I like Coach Rizzi. I don't know. I like them. Now, they probably have to go like 7-1. For him to win and not only be the interim coach, but the head coach, some fans might not want that. They might want more an offensive-minded coach. But I can tell you, just because you special teams, your background, it's about leading men and having the right coaching staff, pushing the right button. One of the best coaches in the NFL right now is a special teams background, John Harbaugh, with the Baltimore Ravens. I think he's done a pretty good job. One of the greatest coaches in NFL history, Marv Levy, back when I was playing with the Buffalo Bills and Jim Kelly and all, he took the Bills to four straight Super Bowls. Now, they didn't win, but he still got them there. And people don't realize Bill Belichick, you know, you don't know offense, defense, everything, but he learned defense at a very high level. But he started out, he was a special teams coach. So you just, you know, I think right now they don't go with Coach Rizzi, they go more on the offensive side and get an offensive mind instead of a defensive coach, the way the game has changed. But you can have Coach Rizzi as the head coach, and Kubiak just has to get the offense going. What we got to do is draft better players. We need more great, elite young players. Right now, if you look on our roster, there's not too many teams that our young elite players that they would end up starting off on other teams. Like I think I said this before Eric McCoy, that he would start off for every NFL team, whether it was at center or guard. They either put him at left guard, right guard, or at center. But if you look at like Chris Olave, our best receiver, he's good, to very good, but he's not elite. Mm-hmm. You know, he could start for a number of teams, like the number two receiver. And I look at Valdez Scantling. I mean, that's a big, fast receiver. Mm-hmm. Those kind of individuals now, while he's been on three different teams, because he gets to drop these sometimes.
Yeah, I want to ask you about that real quick before we run out of time. When it comes to him specifically with the dropsies, through your career and what you've seen, the guys you've played with, can a guy overcome that, or once he shows you who he is that who he is?
No, not really. They can, because I can tell you, you know, at the dropsies in a Saints uniform, and you turn around, I guess more concentration, more drills, just working extra, Devery Henderson. Mm-hmm. Devin Henderson with the Saints had the dropsies. Then all of a sudden he's playing with Sean Payton and Drew Brees, and he turned into a pretty good damn receiver and a good deep threat and a lot of stretch. So, yeah, you can build upon that. And he knows he, to mature as a receiver, you can be as fast as the wind, but you got to catch the ball. So all I know is he looked explosive in those two catches against Atlanta, and I think he'll build upon that.
Thank you for your time, my friend. We love you. We love having you here. And I'm not trying to be sentimental here or anything, but just as there was a time when we knew there was going to be no Drew Brees playing quarterback, there's going to be a time where Bobby Hebert is not going to be on WWL, only because he chooses to retire and do something else. I'm not saying it's
imminent. I got 6 grandkids. I'm probably going to end up having about 7 or 8. So it's not imminent or anything. Football,
all I'm saying is enjoy him while he's here. That's all I'm saying, right?
Yeah, that's right. Thank you, Tom.
I'll be listening to you on Sunday, my friend. Thank you. 9:55, taking a break. Coming back on WWL.